Ich freue mich, Sie, liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, zu unserer neuesten ICT Talk-Episode live aus Las Vegas von der AWS reInvent 2024 begrüßen zu dürfen. Ich habe die Freude und Ehre, heute Pasquale De Mayo bei mir zu haben. Da er Englisch spricht, werde ich jetzt auf Englisch wechseln und den Podcast auch auf Englisch weiterführen. Pasquale De Mayo, he's Vice President of Customer Experience Services at AWS, and I'm very happy to have you today on this episode and to talk with you about Amazon Connect. So welcome.
My question is, you developed the Customer Experience Services in 2015, is that right? So what was the original vision and what has evolved ever since?
Yeah, so interestingly, 2015 was a seminal year for Amazon Connect, but we started developing the technology actually back in 2008. The very first person who wrote the very first line of code for it is still on the team. He's a senior director of engineering for us. And so he's an exceptional leader for us. And he continues to be incredibly passionate about customer service. Back then, he looked around and saw that the scalability, the security, the ability to have high velocity development and creation of great outcomes were just not available anywhere in the industry. So he felt like we need to build it. And so he started down that vision and that path. I met him much later, around 2015, and his team, and I was really impressed by what they built. And that was when I said to him, hey, do we want to actually go and try and do this together and take this as a product to the outside world? And in 2017, we built it into an external product. And that was really where Amazon Connect became, you know, this first thing. And from that day one, we were AI and fully integrated with native AI. We were very focused on that being an important part of the product. You know, scalability, security, reliability being core aspects of it. And since then, you know, we've continued to grow the product and it's been one of the fastest growing at AWS.
Yeah. That will be my next question. Exactly. It's one of the fastest growing product in AWS. So how does it stand out from others? You mentioned now, but can you please go a bit more into details?
Sure. When I think about Amazon Connect, the things I think that are particularly important are, one, it is built from the ground up as a single system. It hasn't been cobbled together with acquisitions or different parts. And in fact, you've worked really hard to make it so that it is a cohesive solution from day one, partially because when we first built it, it was designed just to solve the problem. It was not, you know, it wasn't built as a product. It was built as something that was a solution. The second thing I always think of comes back to that native AI conversation, which is, if you start with AI as a building block and a core opportunity to innovate versus something you're going to bolt on later, again, that makes a big difference in how you think about the problem. And so there's many parts of Connect where people are using AI or even Gen AI, and they just have to make a few clicks to turn it on and they get those big benefits. And a great example would be like summarizations. And so, you know, we had transcription in Amazon Connect since 2020,
yeah.
And we'd have summarization capabilities we added that allowed you to clean up those transcriptions, but they were still long and a little cumbersome. With Gen AI, we're actually able to take those and make them into a few concise sentences that are much more useful. And customers didn't have to do anything to get that benefit. They just saw the benefit, which was obviously really convenient for them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I have other examples of integrating, agent assistance. And the way we built our agent assistance, because again, it's day one built to be integrated in the system. When we bring the agent assistance and we make it into end customer assistance as well, which is one of the things we're announcing this week, that also is very easy for the customers then to take advantage of. And it's the same back end. So their experts who are helping create the tools for their agents now can also help create the tools for their end customers, whichever one makes sense.
I would like to know more about these agents.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk about agents, I will talk about agents all day.
Okay, let's start.
Yes. I mean, the first thing I would say is when you think about agents, they're folks who typically are incredibly passionate about helping people. They came and looked for this job because they love talking to people and they love helping people and solving problems. And one of the big challenges is that a lot of times, if you're not careful, you know, companies can end up, instead of paying those agents to help people, they pay them to learn to alt tab between applications. How long does it take for a web page to load?
Absolutely.
And they get really good at it, but you didn't want them to become great video game players. You wanted them to become great at helping people.
Yeah.
So the big thing in Connect that we look at is how do we bring the agents back so they have the time, more time, and more focus on helping the customer, where being a human being really makes a difference. So take, you know, one of the things where I look at that and say, if an agent can spend their time just looking, consuming the information and helps them solve the problem without having to do a lot of typing and cutting and pasting and things like that, or trying to read a knowledge base and convert into that problem at hand. That takes the lift of that off of them. And then they are able then to focus on the customer and have empathy. And a conversation with someone with empathy is a big difference in the way that person perceives that they're having the problem solved. And similarly, if I can take and give them step-by-step guides so that instead of having to go between, you know, many different applications, they can just stay in one application. They don't have to do any more cut and paste. We can automate all the back-end integration part for them. And then the agent, again, is then focusing on the human being, which is the reason why they're so important in this whole solution, is because they're able to understand really complex problems, then things aren't working the way they're supposed to be, and then help with the customer to make the customer really feel like they're being listened to.
If we look at the customer journey, maybe, or maybe the intent a bit, a customer is contacting a company, whether he has a problem or wants to open more information about the product. Where do you see then AI more jumping in or helping actually at the end, that the agent has more time to actually, once he has the customer, the phone, the time to really solve his problem? I mean, is it already beforehand not the best idea to actually, by repetitive work, actually kind of solving it outside of the agent's scope? Or how do you see that changing?
I think of it as, you know, I think of it as a continuum across all these things. And there's going to be important parts for each. And so before you even have an incoming contact, how could you proactively engage with that customer to make it so they don't even, they get their problem solved before they have to contact you, or they don't even know they had a problem? And I'll give you an example of one where I think a lot of the tools we are launching here at reInvent really can help. Let's say you're on a plane and your plane's late and you have a rental car waiting for you.
Yeah,
you can't contact anyone because you're on the plane, but you know you're going to be late. And so now you're stressed out, you're nervous. What if as soon as you land, you get a text message from the rental car company that says, I see your plane was delayed. Don't worry, your car's still waiting for you in H7. All of a sudden, you go from being stressed out, feeling like you have to call a rental car agency, maybe wait on hold, you know, have to talk to somebody. Instead, you just get your question answered before you even know you had a problem. Now, let's say you wanted to contact the rental car agency. They're right at the fingertips of the agent, they should have all the information about you so that they know. So the first thing you could say is, hey, how can I help you? And then say, you know, I know you have a rental car today. Is that what you're calling about? And then if it's an automatable thing, like the one I gave in the example, in between that thing should be like, hey, so when you call up, if you say, hey, I know your plane was delayed, can you be in a, you know, but don't worry, your car is in H7. And is that what you're calling about? Then the person can be quickly off the phone and get their problem solved. In each of those steps, what we're doing is we're taking the same information about the customer, we're using it to give the best possible outcome.
Yep.
So if there's going to be continuum of all these things. Now, if I get to the place and the car is not in H7, that's a place where you're going to have a more complex problem.
Yep.
Or I get to the place and the car is not in H7,
yep.
Or the car is in H7, but I see that the gas is a little bit below full and I'm wondering, am I going to be charged for this? Or is that okay? Or, you know, maybe I'm worried about something about the car. These more complex problems. Okay, great. If I can say, hey, I see you were picking up your car at H7. Are you calling about a problem with the car? Are you calling about this proactively? And if it's a problem I can just answer it. Let the person get off the phone, not wait on hold. If it's a problem where a person brings value, have them talk to a human being. Those human beings are great at solving problems.
Yep. If you think about it, doesn't it make it requires kind of as well a cultural change within the company, whether you are that proactive and giving the agent at the end, cross-thinking all the data that there is for the customer to know. Where do you see the biggest challenges for companies there?
I think that there's always, every company is going to be different in a sense of like they have, one thing I'll say is most of them want to deliver great customer service. Most of them would like to do that more cheaply. And so between the two of those things, the good news is that better customer service is also usually faster, which is also usually cheaper. And so one of the big things we do with Connect is we say to a customer, let's figure out the rocks you want to move, the most that are most valuable for you at first. And then over time, we'll continue to iterate and make things better and better every day. Get them into a mindset of how do we continue to evolve the way you think about customer service, because the way you're thinking about it today is almost certainly different than it was 2 years ago. And hopefully it's very different from how it will be 2 years from now. I would say that first step is really compelling. What that does, though, is it fundamentally starts to allow you to think about the business impact of the way you talk to your customers differently too. And so I would say if a CEO isn't, you know, they're going to listen to their CTO, they're listening to their CIO, they're listening, hopefully listening to their chief security officer, right? Now the question is, are they also listening to their chief customer officer the same way? Because that chief customer officer probably, if they have the right tools, knows more about what their customers are thinking about them than anybody else in the whole company, potentially. Yeah. And so how do we have that conversation? And so I don't know if this is the hardest part, but I think it's the most interesting part, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Because technology-wise, do you say that there are still any challenges? Or if you've, or it's more the cultural side or the organizational side that actually is challenging?
Yeah, I think that there's been a big shift as people have, you know, I think one of the things that's happened is that people who are running companies are customers too. And we've all experienced good customer service and bad customer service. And one of the things I note is people are recognizing that the value of a great customer outcome is higher than ever. And so folks are looking to invest in that area.
Yeah.
But then they say, if I'm going to make that investment, I want the return on that investment not to just be that I have a lower cost. Cost always matters.
Yeah.
But it's, I want to have a great outcome. And if those outcomes can do both, then that's always better even.
Another side is companies serving both B2B and B2C. Customers face different demands. How do you address these challenges?
The thing that I think about with Connect is that it's built from the ground up to allow the customers to have control over the way they use the tools. And I would say the thing about it is it's very, very flexible. So some things are different, but at the end of the day, typically it's trying to solve a problem. I would say B2P, you might have longer lasting problems most of the more times. You may have a relationship that's more of a one-to-one relationship because you, a B2B person might have a more of a salesperson direct contact with them. That can still be the case in B2C though. And so I see it as much more of a, I would say a continuum or Venn diagram where there's a lot of overlap. And the thing about it, in both cases, they're going to want to be able to understand the customer problem, figure out the best ways to solve the customer problem, use that data to also inform how you avoid that customer problem in the first place, and then improve both their automation and their agent capabilities to do so. And on the B2B side, I would say sometimes the transactions can be a lot higher value. So in some cases, they may be able to, they may think about them a little bit differently. But at the same time, in the end, it's still fundamentally very, very similar. So our tools are very flexible.
Okay. If we deep dive now a bit more in the new features, what you're presenting, maybe tell me a bit more on this side.
Yeah, so we have more than a dozen recent features. So there's a lot to talk about, but I can talk about some at the highest level, what I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
Proactive engagement, stuff I mentioned a little bit earlier about being able to get in front of a problem before the customer even knows they're having it potentially.
Yeah.
We've built in some new tools there that allow you to be able to drive the outcomes you want very early on in the process and automate that. So we have the ability to do segmentation now so that you can look and understand customers and different groups of customers and even down to a single customer and then trigger on events to then contact those customers, put them into, you know, we call them campaigns because that's a jargony. I don't love it, but that is where we are in the industry at some level. But we are able to then drive those so that we have a model where we look at an event that happened and then we're able to reach out to that customer on the right channel at the right time. And for example, let's say you have a payment, your method is going to expire. And, you know the customer doesn't want that to happen, but, you know, you have to remind them they have to functionally update that payment method. It's not something you can just do on their behalf. And so you might reach out with an email to say, hey, this is going to happen in 2 months. You should update your payment method. As you get a little bit closer and you're going to run, you know, a day before or 2 days before, maybe you want to start texting them and say, hey, by the way, this is going to happen. You really should take care of it now. Then if you see they're about to have their service interrupted, and that would be pretty bad for the customer, then you might want to call them. At each step of the way, we can figure out the right way to do that. And then if the person does take care of the problem, we stop contacting them. So you don't end up in this sort of forever contact with being annoyed by it. But instead, we're being very thoughtful in the way the customer wants to be contacted. That's a pretty simple example, but it's a useful one to understand how these types of things. So that's one area we've added new capabilities.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of the things we've done to make this easier is we've actually built a Gen AI tool to allow the people running those campaigns to create the segments using Gen AI. So you can say, I want to talk to customers like X who want to do Y. And we can actually then give you back suggested segments to use for that.
Yeah. Yes. I would like to understand it this way. Does it shift a bit through the tool, through the technology as well, what the discover the tasks are of service or service agents? Does it?
I think that Yeah, I mean, there's always people working in the contact center. I'll be right from the very executives down to supervisors to people running outbound campaigns to agents where I always have, you know, fundamentally different roles. Yep. When I think about the agents, like, I see them as the most valuable thing in the contact center. You want to use their value as human beings as much as possible. And so that's the way I think about the next step of this, which is really around how do we use Gen AI and other tools to make them the most efficient. And so, and when I say efficient, what I really mean is about being human, which is a weird study to make, right? But when I look at it this way, I'm at, you know, you're having a conversation with your friend. If you're distracted by technology, do you have a good conversation or a bad conversation? Agents are human beings too. It's the same thing. Whereas if you an agent is trying to talk to you and wants to communicate and help you, which I almost guarantee they do, like very rarely do you see agents who aren't really passionate about that. If that's the case, what are you doing to give them the ability to abstract themselves and not be bothered by the technology, but consider the technology in service of them focusing on the customer? And so one of the things we've done is we've developed Q and Connect, which is a Gen AI assistant that actually can take the contents of the current conversation, the history of the customer, other information about the customer, and then the details of all the information you know about the enterprise, pull it together, and then recommend the right things to do to help that customer.
Yeah.
In a way that isn't intrusive to the agent and stops them from having to alt-tab or to click on all these buttons and things. Instead, it's right in front of them so they don't have to do all this other heavy lifting. So the heavy lifting they're doing is the heavy lifting you want, which is...
the toolkit.
Yes. And, you know, and it fundamentally changes the way customers can interact when the agent is really listening to them. And the agents obviously love that. Also get some of the other heavily off their plate, like trying to take notes and stuff. You didn't, when you hired an agent, I guarantee you didn't interview them based on their note-taking capabilities. You interviewed them on their ability to work with customers. And so why are you making them become great note-takers or more likely getting crappy notes? We can help take those notes for them. They can read over the notes, decide if they're the right notes, and also add anything they want to while moving that. I mean, I wish I had that when I was in college, right? But these are the types of things we can do for them without them having to even, without the agents having to think about it. They just get the benefit of this. And so that's sort of game changing.
But this pre-active service, I call it now, a feature, it changes the role or the scope of service as well.
I think that's interesting. I feel like it's a thing where it's evolutionary in the sense that if you had, historically, if you went to a business and a business was really well run, they would know you and they would help you. In a world where you are traveling all over the world and you're interacting with new businesses all the time and things like that, it's hard for them to keep track of who you are, all these things, without the right tools underneath to do it. And so I don't think we're fundamentally changing the scope. What I do is I think we're democratizing great customer service, because I think everyone would like to do this if they could today. Like, I don't think go ask somebody, would you like to do the experience I just described to you? And they'd say yes. And then I'd say, well, how would you do something now? And they'd say, well, our outbound is actually mostly manual. And, you know, it'd just be very heavy lifting. We couldn't do it. But it doesn't mean they wouldn't want to do it. But as again, if you uplift those agents and you uplift those supervisors and those people who are designing those campaigns to be able to have tools that make them faster and more efficient, they're going to keep making things better. And the value proposition of having great customer service, as we see, is becoming more important every day.
Yeah.
You know, we see customers who will even tell you that they value the customer service over the product. And conversely, you'll see customers just say, it used to be people would accept a fair amount of bad experiences before they leave. And now they're like, no, I won't do that anymore. If a bad experience totally turns me off from this brand, you know, for forever potentially, right? And so the value of this stuff is incredibly important. And so I do fundamentally believe that, you know, as far as the eye can see, really, but even in the next year, I believe a lot of the companies that are well run and really thoughtful are going to have significantly better customer service than they ever did before for many, many more customers. There are always some customers who are probably getting a great experience, and now they can do that for many, many more.
Yeah. So, is there another feature that maybe you want to talk about?
Yeah, one feature that we launched that I think is really interesting is also bridging that gap between the interaction with the customer and the supervisors, who spend so much time trying to do so many different things all day long. And they end up often, I think, it gets the short shift of how you actually can help your agents get better, because typically what they do is they listen to a very small subset of calls that they've recorded and, you know, someone's analyzed, and then they have to come back and use that to understand entirely what's happening in the contact centers, and maybe that that's right and you got lucky, or maybe it's not and you got unlucky. In either case, that's, you know, you don't want to rely on luck.
Yep.
One of the things that we've done with Contact Lens Conversational Analytics, which is the tool we use to help analyze calls generally, it does all of the transcriptions, it does all of the summarizations.
Yeah.
We've also added the capability to do automated evaluations to answer questions about the contact. So we can actually look into each conversation, listen to the contact, and pick out whether or not we think the right greeting was said or other things happened on the contact that should happen, and then evaluate them and automatically populate that information for each contact. That way, when a supervisor wants to understand what's happening with an agent, they have a much bigger corpus of information, which is really useful, A, to help coach that agent to do better or to look for things where they, you know, maybe aren't saying the exact right thing, or maybe they missed an opportunity to help a customer. And if they're consistently doing that, that's something worth correcting. If they get it once, you know, you don't want to bother them with it, right? And so that having that corpus information is really interesting. The other thing is it starts to give you a much broader and more complete vision of what's happening in your contact center. So those supervisors who are so busy with so many fire drills and so many things can take a step back and say, hey, fundamentally, how would I change our processes to make things better? Where could we go and talk to the other parts of the contact center to help eliminate some of these challenges so agents aren't put in bad positions, or, you know, or so that our agents don't have to answer this, ask the same question twice? You know, great opportunities to say, hey, it turns out that 20% of every call is being spent on trying to do authentication and the agents are making mistakes in that.
Yeah.
Should, maybe that's a really good place to look to automate. Otherwise, I can also look and say, hey, this agent tends to take 3 seconds longer than every other agent, but their customer satisfaction things are higher than every other agent's. Could we have every other agent spend 3 seconds to make that better? Let's understand why this agent is so good at this. And then we can help use that to learn from it. And so these are some really interesting things that you can do once you start to evaluate every conversation, which the power of AI makes feasible for the first time.
Yeah. Is that something that's... that you as a supervisor have to settle and say, listen, this is the task that the points that we are looking at for our company, for our call center? Or is that something in general that you can, first of all, get a summary or get the, and then try to figure out how to applicate maybe for automation or for making processes better?
It's a little bit of both. There's some out-of-the-box technologies that you can apply very easy with just a few clicks.
Yeah.
Most companies do want to gauge on specific things because they tend to have different outcomes they think are the most important from a call.
Yeah.
And for example, like if a person calls in and they want to, you know, and they want to make a request that they just can't actually do what the customer is asking.
Yeah.
You don't want to measure that the same way when someone calls in and asks for something, it should be an obvious yes. So you want to make sure you're thinking about what the right answers are at the end. The thing is, they're almost all already doing that. But the problem is they can't actually get the value out of it because they can only then apply it to a small percentage of calls. So they're doing that work already. We've made that work super easy to build in Connect because we just had a drag and drop thing to help make it really easy. And then once they have that built, which they would have done anyways, now they can apply it much more broadly.
Can it just to clarify, just for me to understand, is it then a summary for the customer or with the agent? Is it, which perspective does it have on the agent?
It'll summarize the contact overall.
Okay.
But you can decide as a company where you think the value is in that. Like as a customer, I'm not sure I would need to see a summary of the conversation I'd had. But there might be a case where that makes sense. And maybe you do choose that. But you might want to take that summary and give it to the agent. The agent might not care. The agent might just be moving on, and maybe you don't want to bother them with every summary of every contact. They're taking so many contacts every day. So maybe you just want to look for the ones where something interesting happened, and then you say, okay, let me go take a look at this, understand why this one was interesting.
Yeah.
And then if I see a pattern, then I come back and talk to that agent about the pattern, good or bad. I mean, it can be a very good pattern, right? I mean, like I said, the agents, most of them that I've seen, I'll listen to conversations and I'll be like, oh my God, you turned that call around from someone who was angry to someone who loves this company now. So, how did you do that? And those are, so I think there's some level of configuration that makes sense to do up front. The nice thing is now you're finally getting that value out of it. And I will add, the other thing is now if you're listening, if you are using these calls to analyze them, the great thing is you can also take action during the call to assist the agent too.
Yeah.
So the value keeps building on itself.
Okay.
And along the way, so it's one of these things where we are increasingly creating value out of having understanding of the contact center at every point.
Yeah.
And because it's integrated, you know, you don't have to configure it 5 times. You configure it just once to set up to listen in and understand what's happening, and another time to then create those evaluations. But you're getting the benefits across everything.
Yeah, that's what I meant for the supervisor, which actually can set it up to say, listen, I want to have this summary or that reports on customers. What I meant is like a segmentation, because you were mentioned this before as well, segmentations. Is that something where you can say, is it for segmentations of customers, calls that came in, is that what you get? Or is it the conversations that an agent had?
Yeah,
it was based on just the agent and what they had.
It can be both. Yeah, it can be both. I mean, the thing that's great about it is that most, you know, when you pretty quickly start to realize that understanding the customer's problem before it gets to the agent is really a good idea. And so a great example of this might be just predicting up front, like the things I mentioned where you would say, hey, I see this is a likely cause of the person to call. I should proactively engage with them. Or if it's not something you would want to be proactively engaged on, but if they call in, we should offer this as a solution right away. And then if that's not the case, maybe then I pass that information to the agent, either because the customer said, no, that's not my problem, or because you think it's a hint for the agent. And so then, and so along the way in each of these steps, you're going to be using this information to get better and better. And then you look at the outcomes. And so you might find out that asking the customer, hey, I noticed this about your history. Is that why you're calling? Maybe you're only right. Let's say you're only right 25% of the time. And that saves a little bit of time, which is good. But maybe also if it turns out that customers like that you're paying attention to them, you know, then that might actually increase CSAT, even though you didn't ask, even though the question wasn't right. And so you want to be data driven in some of these outcomes. Also, if you ask them a question that annoys them, then you shouldn't ask it, even if it's right a lot, right? Because, you know, if it comes off as weird, right? So you want to optimize for the outcomes of that end customer experience.
Yeah. So this is all looking at the reporting side for the supervisor or the management. Is there as well the new way then kind of getting reports and based on the data?
Yeah, we've actually launched, and thank you for asking that question, because we've actually launched a ton of new analytics capabilities, all the way from the sort of core, what I call the core analytics of a contact center, also campaign analytics now, so you can easily see that. We launched analytics around the automated experience, so it's much easier to tune it. We've also launched with that the ability to do more of the configuration of the natural language understanding directly in Connect, so that's become much simpler. And so now you can build, you know, world-class self-service all inside of Connect, which is, you know, pretty amazing compared to where the rest of the world has been. You know, that's something that usually takes, you know, usually end up hiring a lot of professional services that are, you know, and you have to wait months to get the outcomes. Now you can get in a few minutes. Yeah. And with those analytics, you can measure it that day. So you can make changes right away, which is really wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and then, I guess I would say on the final piece of it, we also have a ton of analytics around the customer, those customer conversations and the evaluations. And for a lot of customers, that will be plenty, but we also make all that available for other folks if they want to have access to it outside of Connect, because maybe they have other data they want to join it with. Maybe it's CRM data they have, or maybe it's an ordering system or conversion data, and they have it from in the different areas. So we make that incredibly easy to get to So this is really fun stuff.
One last question in this case. What role does the customer feedback play for you at developing new features? And
so, I mean, we will quote the stat that is 96% of all features in AWS come directly from customer asks. I think in Connect, that stat absolutely holds true. We absolutely talk to customers all the time, and they give us such great ideas. We go back, we think about the problem, then we try to think big and say, well, in 2 years, is that the way you still want to think about the problem? We'll come back to them and say, hey, this is how we think we might do this in Connect. Do you have feedback? I literally had a customer tell me today that they were so excited when we brought them. They said, we want this feature in routing. We came back and said, well, here's how we think we would do that. And they're like, oh, this is so much more interesting than what we wanted, just the one thing we wanted. And they said, and they're like, when can we get it? And then we said, well, we'll have it by this date. And they're like, oh, that's too late. And we said, well, let's see what we can do. And we came back and said, well, okay, we figured out how we can bring it sooner.
Okay.
And so like it's an ongoing partnership with the customer. And that was really exciting for me to have that customer tell me that, because that means my team is doing the right thing listening to them. Yeah.
And I still have another question. That's more about the pricing model or the modular model. Is it for more smaller customer services or bigger customers? Yeah, no, contact centers with many agents. Smaller, how does that set up, and with that, the pricing?
Yeah, the pricing of Connect, I thought about it a lot when I was the person who led the pricing, the original pricing conversations, and I thought about it a lot at the time, and I feel like I would say I was very lucky that it turned out that the way we priced it works really well, because for customers who are small, they are getting a very discounted price on what they would have to pay to set up a contact center of this capability, because Connect is so easy to set up, and they can get access to an enterprise grade contact center without having to pay a big upfront cost, which has always been the history of it. It's like, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars to do the first configuration, yeah, a lot of times, certainly millions. And then for the enterprises, they love it because it scales up and down. So they don't have to plan for their peaks and their valleys and then try and game all that. So they just get it. So usually what we see with customers is they almost always save money with Connect on both ends of that spectrum. And they also, the enterprises love the fact that they can move quickly like a startup. So I'll often say it's enterprise contact center for startups, and that's a startup pricing for an enterprise contact center, right? And so that was, I think it worked out really well if that was the case, and so we've been able to stick with that pricing for literally 7 years now. Now the other thing is we've added so many more capabilities to Connect over that time, so the value of Connect has gone up so much since that. And so I think our pricing is a strong point for the service.
Yeah.
On many levels. So and also we work with our customers to help them improve their customer service. We're not looking, and I am empowered to help them do that, even if it ends up paying us less money, which a lot of times it does. We have customers who save a little more money every year on it because we've helped them and worked with them to make them more efficient, which also delivers better customer service. And I've never once gotten in trouble for that, which is wonderful.
So now, thank you for sharing your insights and the conversation. Thank you very much. You can really feel that. This is your passion for the
customer.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.